Hello, patrons.
Hello.
How the bloody hell are you? And have we got something new for
that?
We have another top five.
I'm really enjoying these top fives.
Me too. Yeah, and we've been getting some good feedback on them. So thank you very much. So this one was top five needle drops. Now, I'll tell you this. I've been telling people that I'm doing needle drops and they all think I mean record scratch. So something's missing. essentially what we're doing is the top five songs where... Top five movie scenes, I guess, where the song that's playing elevates the scene even more.
See, I highly recommend everybody who's listening to this, whatever, if you like the whole idea of like a needle drop or something, there's a YouTuber called Patrick Willems who like can't win his arch nemesis.
Here we go.
But he does video essays and he did one on needle drops and he breaks it down into the technical terms of like diegetic and non-diegetic, like all this stuff where it's like...
Scientology?
like diegetic is like he's listening to it on the radio while he's driving the
car. This is different. I shouldn't have rolled my eyes at the start. This is something different than I thought it was.
And non-diegetic is like something that just plays over the scene, but nobody is aware that the song is being played. You know? So there's a whole
levels.
There's loads to get into on it. It's really fascinating, I think.
Ooh, interesting.
I've sent you the link many times.
Have you?
Check it out.
Yes. Well, I can't keep up.
I think I tagged you and Tony on Twitter as well.
I thought that was your man's... Is that your man, the countdown or the movies of the year guy?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought it was. So I didn't click on it. But if I'd known it was that... anyway, Terry.
So we're doing top five.
Top five. Now...
Do you want to go first?
Yes. Now, I'm not ranking them yet. I haven't made my final decision. I think that we're going to match up on at least two.
Now, I don't think you'll have three of mine. Don't think you'll have three of mine.
You've seen considerably more movies than me. Maybe 1,000 times more. X1,000. So, but I do think that we're definitely probably going to have one the same.
Okay.
Anyway. So one of them is, right, now I'm going to just get this out of the way. I'm going to go with the scene from Ghostbusters 1984. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, we're going to try and get the video, get the scenes playing as we talk about them, so you'll see what we're talking about. But if you're at home, obviously listening, try and imagine. But this one was the scene where your man shuts down, he pulls down the lever and all the ghosts go flying up. And there's that song that plays... Where it's like, please, please, please. Dum, da, dum, da, dum. It's a very 80s, right? And
no, I don't remember this one at all. Like,
but it was a real mood changer. That was when, like, the ghosts are sort of, they're going everywhere. They're showing up out of the drains and all this. But this music's playing over. Apparently the song was like some terrible rap song about some guy's dick.
Okay.
And whatever the coda was just used in this. But there's a little... I was thinking about this one anyway, but I seen a little thing. I'm sorry, I don't know the source. So this is terrible journalism. But it says... But incredibly, because it's a terrible song, but incredibly, when combined with just the right set of images, this stinker comes out smelling of roses, utilising only the coda, mercifully fading out all the willy rap section and placing what's left over moody sound effect shots of special spectral lights swooping through Manhattan. Ivan Reitman creates a montage sequence that feels genuinely unearthly and ghostly dream invasion that's more far out than anything else in the film.
So this is when the ghosts are starting to go...
Yeah, this is when your man's like, I want these guys shut down. Yeah. He's like, your mother.
Hold it! I want this man arrested. Captain, these men are a criminal violation of the Environmental Protection Act. And this explosion is a direct result of it.
Your mother cannot destroy you.
No, all this sort of stuff. And then they all sort of fly out. It's in there because Ghostbusters is my favorite film. And I love the soundtrack. Anyway, I was also considering Saving the Day. Do you remember that one where they're like...
I have to go back and revisit Ghostbusters because I do not remember any of this.
It's a classic. Anyway, so that's my...
If I'm honest, I was never really a huge Ghostbusters guy. Okay?
Aykroyd? Murray? Yeah. New York?
Yeah.
Ghosts?
Busters?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's never been one of the ones... Like, Indiana Jones has never been one of the ones that is, you know...
Yeah.
Near and dear to my heart.
Same.
It just was one of the ones... I was more of a Short Circuit guy, let's be honest.
Okay.
I should have put Short... Oh, there's a great needle drop in Short Circuit.
There's still time. You haven't said anything yet.
No, I couldn't. Well, look,
that's one of mine.
Yeah, okay,
so hit me with one of yours.
I'm going to go with, you mentioned your favourite movie, I'm going to mention my favourite movie. It's from Goodfellas.
This is the one that I assume that we both have.
Well, I could have had four from Goodfellas. Oh. That's the thing. Like I'm going to go with Smoke in the Water.
He means Sunshine of Your Love. Oh, excellent.
For the scene where Robert De Niro decides he's going to kill Maury.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like...
Interesting. Why that one?
Oh, it's because, like, Henry is trying so hard to, like, calm Maury down. He's like, stop fucking bothering him. Wig guy. And he's like, this is my gig.
He's getting out of hand.
And he's like, they have the whole... He's like, would you just fucking calm down? We'll get you your money.
Yeah.
He's like, Henry... Oh, Henry boy, the pipes. Oh God. And like, he's gone from like this absolute like head wrecker to being like this kind of like silly, jovial character, and goes out into the bar, and then it cuts to De Niro, and it's like,
oh yeah, he's looking
the cigarette. It's like, to say, like, instead of just writing evil above his head, like, that's what it's just so sinister. I just think it's amazing acting without acting, and like the perfect fucking pitch of it. Like,
Scorsese was a master at, particularly at this particular topic.
We could be doing top five Scorsese music moments.
Like. 100%. Because I mean, and Goodfellas in particular. Like, I mean, that scene, I'd actually forgotten about that one.
Can I guess what one you went with?
Go on then.
Is it Layla?
Of course. And it's a real, I mean, I love the song. I love the scene. I just love the fact that, like, it's all, this is like, it's a real turning point in the movie. Like, this is where all the dead bodies start showing up.
This is the bad time.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they say in the movie. Yeah.
But the music is like so kind of euphoric. Like, the music almost belongs in the first half where everything is on the up.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's all coming to a head. They're finding them in the trash. They're finding them in the freezer.
Well,
the car.
It's perfect because it's that, like, you have the great scene before it, which is like everybody showing up to the club, him showing up in the pink Cadillac.
Yeah.
And he's like, I fucking told you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's like, my mother's name. And like, there's some great, like,
oh, and that's the Cadillac that they're
they're in the pink
dead end. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Hey, man, I'm on the surface level. Like, I'm a surface level.
And it's so good where it's like, you see the little kid beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, what's in the car or whatever, and then it's like,
as soon as you see the car, it's like, it just goes up.
The rising up, like,
and then, it's brilliant.
Jimmy was cutting every link between himself and the robbery, but it had nothing to do with me. I gave Jimmy the tip and he gave me some Christmas money. From then on, I kept my mouth shut. I knew Jimmy. He had the cash. It was his. I know he kicked some money upstairs to Paulie, but that was it. Made him sick to have to turn money over to the guys who stole it. He'd rather whack them. Anyway, what did I care? I wasn't asking for anything, and besides, Jimmy was making nice money with me through my Pittsburgh connections. Still, months after the robbery, they were finding bodies all over.
Like I say, everybody else gets whacked like Carbone.
It's like he was frozen so stiff that they had took him 2 days to thaw him out for the autopsy. Yeah. And then right after that scene is where Joe Pesci is going to be made, and that all goes to shit. So it was a real, I love the song anyway, but it was a real, like, it's one of my favorite scenes in any movie, to be honest. So like, that was the first thing I thought of when I was thinking of this podcast. So,
Layla.
Yeah.
There's also like, Then He Kissed Me from Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, I was thinking of putting that on it. Like,
yeah.
And it's just more.
That's where he's like, ever since I can remember. Is that?
No,
that
it's the like first when one? They're going to the Copa. So
and they're
that.
Going through the. Yeah.
And it's just like perfect because it's like she's being, you know, whisked away.
Yeah.
For like the date, and it's like perfect in that like it matches the way she's feeling at the moment. Like I say, she won't feel that way later on, but it's just perfect sync, a great song, and
is that the one the Beach Boys did a cover of? Then I Kissed Her. Sounds very similar.
I don't know.
I was watching a thing I watched your man Michael Francis YouTube channel, and he was reviewing Goodfellas because he knew Henry Hill and all this. He was actually name dropped in the movie where he's talking about, he's like, we got Mikey Francesi or whatever, and he's like, how you doing, you know, when he's going through, and he's like, I don't know why I was in the movie, I was in the Columbo gang, they were in the Lucchese or whatever it is gang. But I had name value. Maybe they put it in there. Whatever. But he's like, I'll tell you one thing. He's like, Henry Hill would not have been walking through that kitchen unless there was someone higher up than him. He wouldn't have got that sort of service. You know? And he's like, he was not smooth talking like Ray Liotta was. He was a bit of a sorry sack and all this sort of stuff. It was just really interesting hearing his whole take on it. Like, but I mean, we could, like you said, like we could even do one on Goodfellas specifically, to be honest, because it's so good.
I gotta watch it again, man. Like I haven't watched it in a couple of years. Watched it one New Year's.
I've seen it this year,
and I was like,
so good.
Yeah, got it. I gotta do it, man.
It's one of the maybe four or five movies that it's like whatever bit it's on, you can just leave it on.
I say the famous story, but the one I've probably told you loads of times, where it's like me and friend of the podcast, Coffee, were like. In my house, it was like 5 a.m. We've been like drinking and stuff, and he's like getting up to leave, and it's like Goodfellas has just started. It's like, back down, jacket off, like, gotta do it, man.
You do have to do it, and it's almost a thing in the house of like, don't leave this on because I want to go to bed, like, you know, and I'm gonna be up all night.
Okay.
So that was my second. What is your number?
My second one out of the gate is Vanilla Sky. Good Vibrations. Do you have that one?
I have that one too.
Oh my god!
And I was thinking when I put that, I was like, if Terry hasn't picked this one, he's going to be furious with himself.
I was on and off about it, like, and I was like, no, it does something to me when I watch it. Like the scene itself is, you know, it's him talking to Tilda Swinton, and then it's the way it just kind of everything starts to change, and it's like and like she's like getting out of the chair, and she's like, I love you, David.
She's whatever. Saying what
yeah, you know,
she was saying.
Ad and stuff like that. I was like, and then it's like pulling up the mat.
Like, if you haven't seen Vanilla Sky, like a lot of people don't really like Vanilla Sky. I think it's like a really good movie. I haven't seen it in years, but I
love
it.
I still love it. I watched it not too long ago. I think
and
it's great.
He's basically, this is where the moment where he realizes that this isn't real life, and that, you know, he's in a dream or a simulation and all that.
Yeah.
And it's just that realization that comes over as the music's playing. Kurt Russell's sitting there beside him like, he's not real, but he's like...
But it's the camera as well. It pushes in. It's almost like a Dutch angle when it's just like, going in and it's like... Like pulling at the
mask. The faces are like that. Yeah. And just, I love it. Like, this is the scene that I've actually watched this scene in preparation for this about 4 or 5 times.
So good. 'Cause
This was the one that was a nailed on as well,
right,
to be honest.
I love you, David. I love
the way the sunlight plays upon her head.
Roam free, David. Most of us live our whole lives without any real adventure to call our own. It's hard to comprehend. But they laughed at Jules Verne, too.
Like, I get goosebumps just even talking about it.
There's even the bit, like, because that's the crescendo almost, when he's like taking the mask off. And then when he bursts through the door and he's like, oh, it's like, days goodbye.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's in, like, not a cartoon, but like, the way he's like, he's sliding along and bouncing off walls and stuff like that. You're like,
no one does that better than Tom Cruise as well. You know, just calling for tech support.
Excuse me. Wow, I don't know.
But then when he gets, you know, to the end, and then the, like, it all just goes quiet, and like the lift just opens up, and like it's a very, and the soundtrack on Vanilla Sky as well,
really good.
We were only talking about Everything in Its Right Place last week, like, but it's
even
got,
the first one is
R.E.M.
Yeah, that would have been like, if you could have picked soundtracks, I would have included that in like track one, side ones, like,
yeah,
because that really kicks off the album.
We should do soundtracks.
Awesome.
I'm delighted that you had this one too. See, I told, now did you have, you didn't have Layla, did you? So
nope.
You had, okay.
Smoke on the Water.
So we had one. I knew we'd get one. Yeah. My next one is going to be The Immigrant Song from Thor Ragnarok. Now, right. How we've come full circle, huh?
Interesting.
Because it was more than just, well, one, Led Zeppelin never let you use their songs.
Mm.
And two, Thor's hammer was fucking destroyed.
Your man mentioned in that video, it's a great needle drop, because the first time around you hear it, he is like confident, whatever, he has his hammer. And then he loses all, you know, his self-esteem throughout the rest of the film. And then when he's back, they use it again. You're like, that is the signifier of him, like, to start to come back up again, like,
yeah, sure, actually, yeah. And it was just, and you know, it was a real, I think I had Ragnarok as my number one,
yeah, I think possibly. It kept that way, yeah.
So as soon as I saw it, like, Kerry also probably rates that as her favorite one. Her favorite scene in all the Marvel MCU is the him at the start when he's swinging on that chain. She fucking loves that scene. She talks about it all the time. She laughs even talking about it. Like, she loves that scene.
So bizarre.
I know. Yeah. It's like, out of all the scenes. Yeah. So, but the end scene where the Immigrant Song, one, it's a badass song, as we all know. Definitely. And it's just the visual of him slow motion, like coming down or whatever. I just thought, really good. And that was a real turning point for me, being like, right, I'm all in on the Marvel stuff now.
Tell me, brother, what were you the god of again?
Give it to that.
Okay. My next one. So that was your fourth?
Hang on. Was it?
I think so. You had Layla.
Layla, Immigrant Song, Good Vibrations, and Ghostbusters. Yeah, jeez, we're flying along.
I'm only on my third.
Okay.
So my next one is from...
Are you?
Little one? Yeah. Jackie Brown.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
This part is like, they use Across 110th Street at the start and then at the end of the film. And it's not a spoiler for anybody. It's literally over the end credits, but it's like, she and this guy, like, share like a kiss, and then she gets in a car and drives off, and he's right. just standing there. It's Robert Foster, who's like, you would know him from, he was in Breaking Bad. He was the guy that was like smuggling them. No?
Can't picture his face.
Anyway, he's great.
Right.
And he's just staring out the window. The camera stays on him, and it's like, as it starts, you know, it's like, ooh, and it's like just on his face, his sad face.
Mm.
He still has like lipstick smeared on his mouth, and then he like walks to the back, and it's like when it kicks into the like, across, you just see him like put his head, he's like through a tinted frosted mirror, put his head down, and then like, fuck, what have I done, like, you know. And then it just cuts there, it stays on Jackie Brown driving her car, mouthing it, and the emotions changing across her face, being like, should I have stayed, you know, no, is this good for me, I'm, you know, I thought it's fucking brilliant, and it breaks my heart every time I watch it. I'm like, that little like shrug of the shoulders.
Yeah.
You don't even see his face. It's just the body language. He's like,
oh. Oh, very
he
good.
Seems like the wind has been completely knocked out of him. Like, oh.
Sounds good.
Really good. But like, great movie.
Gotta see that movie. Yeah. Can't believe I haven't seen it.
It's...
What's the song?
Across 110th Street by Bobby Womack. Across 110th Street.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. No?
No, it kind of rang a bell when you said it. When you
I'm not going
it
any further.
Give me a bit more. No. Give me a second verse.
I could have had... Like, that was my Tarantino. I could have had...
Yeah, like, I mean, he's almost at Scorsese levels when it comes to... Good music.
Like, there was one I seriously considered putting in from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm. It's Rolling Stones, Out of Time. And I'd never heard it before this, but like, it's like a 3-minute scene. You get it on, and it's mid to end part of the movie. Doesn't really give away a lot of the plot. There's not a lot of plot in that movie anyway. But it's like 3 minutes of like just following these two characters, and then like as evening is coming on in LA. The lights coming on. It works perfectly. Mm. You're like, ah, man.
It does sound like something I'd be into, all right. Yeah. And it's funny because there's so many, like, with Tarantino, you'd get the big needle drop would be, like, Steeler's Wheel.
Or yeah, I mean,
Stuck in the Middle with You from Reservoir Dogs, or You Never Can Tell.
I saw a few of our listeners were putting up, like, those ones, like, you never can
Thanks
tell.
Very much for the suggestions, by the way. Yeah, I was deliberately not putting up, although I didn't get any ones that I was going to pick, but I wasn't going to put up any ones that were on my list.
Yeah.
But some good suggestions there, particularly the Big Lebowski.
Yeah,
and all
that's
that
another one
stuff.
that I thought about as well.
Yeah, and I was thinking of the Pixies in Fight Club, but I don't like the movie really as, like, enough.
It's good. It is good, but yeah.
It's a bit too, like, I don't know,
like, the ones I picked, the reason I picked these ones is they made me feel things.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I don't really feel, I think it's pretty cool and it works really well, but it doesn't, like...
Maybe when I was 21, I'd have said that would be up there. Yeah, you know? What about your number four, then?
My number four is, Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh.
These Days by Nico.
Ah.
Do you know the song?
I do.
I was watching it last night. And it was just, it works so well, song. The scene. I know you don't like the movie.
No, I went to see it in the cinema.
And but somebody was having sex beside you or something like that, wasn't it?
Yes, very good.
But
that's all I remember.
But the scene where, like, Luke Wilson's character, who has been away for a while, you don't know really why at this stage, he comes back and he's waiting for Gwyneth Paltrow at the bus station. And it works so well because it has, like, Alec Baldwin doing the narration.
Oh,
and
nice.
He's kind of saying, like, they were waiting for the number 31 green bus. She was late as usual. Like, it's like he's reading a book.
Right.
And she gets off and he just blocks away all the other sound for a second. And you just see, like, Gwyneth Paltrow. And whatever way it is, like, her hair kind of flicks and it's just like that guitar at the start. Like, get hairs on my arm every time thinking about it. And
let's
it's just,
check that out.
it's just a lovely scene again between like her and Luke Wilson. They have this weird relationship. They're adopted siblings, but like both in love with each other. Like,
yeah,
and but they know, like, there's a the reason he left, I think, it was like she got married or something. So they know there's nothing they can do about it, but yet there's this immediately when they see each other.
Straight and let me get a look at you. Great tune. It's a great tune. I'm looking forward to checking out these when I'm editing this together, to be honest, because it does sound good and I like that song. So to accompany it in a movie, I think would be very good. I'm a particular fan of the Jackson Brown version, though.
Personally. I've never heard it.
He probably wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Wrote it when he was 17.
Oh, okay, man.
He wrote it when he was 17.
How do you do that? Like?
Don't confront me with my failures. I've not forgotten them. You're 17. Anyway, some great lyrics. My number five, Terry. Now,
if this is the score for T2, I am getting up and leaving.
This one will shock you.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Just Like Honey.
Ooh.
From the end of Lost in Translation.
Was looking at it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a very, like, it could have been a very potentially sad scene, but it kind of leaves you not unsatisfied. Like, you know, it leaves you satisfied. He whispers something, he gives her a little kiss, and the second kiss just on the face was really good. And then just as she smiles, you get that first strum of the chord. And whatever, it just fits that dreamy pop, like, sort of sound of the whole movie.
So it's almost like this time in her life has been a dream.
Yeah.
As in like a literal like fog, haze, and it's like he's leaving through the crowd of people. Like,
and like he's smiling, she's smiling, the music's playing. It's just, and I loved the movie when it came out.
Still really good.
Like, yeah, I haven't seen the movie properly in like a number of years. But I just thought it was, you know, it fit perfectly. And whatever reason, it just always did it for me for... I don't know, what was 2003 it came out?
Yeah, around that time, because I had the soundtrack as well, like 2003, 2004.
And then I seen a little thing here of it's not worth it really.
Okay.
I was gonna say some article had something to say about it, but whatever.
Who cares? Hey, fuck me, right? my last one is a bit of a cheat, I guess, because
I know it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Tiny Dancer, Almost Famous.
No. Okay. And again, it was one that I was looking at. This one is from Boogie Nights. Okay. Mm. And it's a very famous scene, but it's like two songs. Like the scene is Dirk Diggler, who's Mark Wahlberg, and his two buddies, Tom Jane and Philip, and John C. Reilly, are going to do like a drug deal, but it's just baking soda. They're desperate.
Right.
So they go to this guy who's like a music producer, but he's just constantly having parties. And he's basically like, he doesn't need the coke. He's loads of coke. He just buys it so people come and hang out like when they're selling them the coke. So these are three, like, this is their lowest ebb. They've gone from the heights of like being porn stars to this in the valley in LA. And it's like, as soon as you get in there, like they're playing Sister Christian by... Night Ranger.
Don't know it.
You're motoring.
Oh yeah.
What? But like, that's when that starts. It's like, it's
actually on its own. Don't like that song, but maybe in the movie
in this, because it's so unsettling. Because Like, he's in a bathrobe, like Alfred Molina, the guy buying the drugs, in a bathrobe. He's like real hyper. He has like a giant security guard with a gun standing there, like a big black guy. Right. And then there's some guy, a little Asian fella, going around throwing firecrackers. And the three of them are like, like they're supposed to be doing a drug deal here. Yeah. They're completely out of their depth. And like, as this is happening, like Mark Wahlberg and John C. Reilly are like, we need to get the fuck out of here. Or like, they're real nervous. They think they're going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And your man just goes to buy it off Tom Jane. He's like, how much? He's like, you just can't stop laughing hysterically while this is like hitting fever pitch behind them. And then it kind of cools down. The tape turns over and it turns into Jesse's girl.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like,
great.
That's when things start, it's, that's when things start kicking up, where it's like, he's going to make the play. Tom Jane wants to start making the play. He's like, no, we came here for something else. Hmm. And man's like, what you come here for? He's like, in the master bedroom, under the bed, there's a safe. Now, there's an impression for Newman, by the way. But he basically is like,
he's, oh, yeah,
he basically is tweaking too much that it, like, it all kind of crescendos with like, I need Jesse's girl. And like,
yeah, nice.
I just think, like the juxtaposition of like, what are you doing, Todd? Put the gun down. Like, yeah, so good.
Very good. I told you I got a plan. I got a very good plan. Are you kidding me, Kitty? Nah, I'm not, see? I'm not kidding. I want what's in the safe. We want what is in a goddamn safe in a goddamn master bedroom and a fucking floor on a goddamn fucking floor safe. That's all. Tough. Don't be crazy, okay? Sir, you don't know anything about this, okay? This is not at all what we wanted. Shut the fuck up, sir. Do not reach for your gun. Don't reach for your gun. You went in the bedroom. God, what the fuck are you doing? You went in the bedroom. Todd, what the fuck did you go crazy?
He's got coke and he's got cash in that safe, in that bedroom. And if we leave here without it, man, fucking idiots, man. We came here to motherfucking do something and we can fucking do it, all right? Are you with me?
It's,
I like that.
When you're watching it, like when you're putting them together,
I'm looking forward to seeing these, to be honest, because some of them, a lot of them I haven't seen.
I'm actually finding it hard to articulate because I'm so excited talking about them.
I know. It's kind of, it's like I find that, especially when we do a face to face one, for whatever reason, because my energy is always just like, hey buddy. I always think after, I was supposed to say this and this and that. I was going to make that excellent point about this, didn't think about that.
Did you have any like extras? Like, you had to cut?
I had a couple of alternates. I was Tiny Dancer and Almost Famous. But, like, I don't think I'd like it now, but, like, it was a really, you know, it's almost the epitome of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know?
But actually, I think the one that works better is the other Elton John, Mona Lisa and Mad Hatters.
Oh.
When it's like she gets told, or, like, I think it's fucking, what's your man's name? The lead singer? No, the guitarist. Billy Crudup.
Oh, yeah.
His character in it. Like, his wife has shown up on the tour, and they're like, who's that girl that's looking? Like, oh, she's with me.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just, like, kind of kicks in with, like, I thank the Lord. And, like, oh, yeah. She's getting shunned away. Your man, the young fella, gets up and runs out after. I think it works, like, really nicely, as opposed to now, the Tiny Dancer thing.
It's a bit of a bit on the nose.
Yeah, but it is. Like, it is. It works because, I guess...
It's like, but that song now is so associated with the movie. You know what I mean? I had that one. I had, let me just bring up my list. You Never Can Tell. I had the Pixies. These didn't make the list because I didn't. I had Bittersweet Symphony from Cruel Intentions.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you what a classic that is.
One of a Counting Crows guy myself.
And, that was a good one, that. Yeah, Colorblind. And I have Somebody to Love from The Cable Guy.
Hey, that was on my list as well. Like, erased,
but I would have—I felt like I would have been a hypocrite if I'd put that as my favorite, because, you know, I like the.
It's more of a musical moment, I guess. Like, yeah, you know.
Did you have any alternates yourself?
I had No More Mr. Nice Guy.
I was thinking, what can I use from Days to Confuse?
That, like, that is the scene for me with where the song makes the most. And they're like spinning the bat, like,
yeah. It needs an album. You know, I was considering that, like, I was thinking Days Confused, and I was thinking, what is the one where you know, and it would be that. Is that Alice Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like Ben Affleck being like, yeah. Yeah. And the other guy, like, the spin in the bat, like.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen Warrior. It's like the cage fight in UFC.
Oh, yeah. I have seen it. I don't remember it.
Tom Hardy.
Of course I've seen it. Tom Hardy's in it? Of course I've seen it.
Tom Hardy's a cage fighter, and his brother, Joel Edgerton, they end up in the finals of like amateur thing. They win a contract or something. But there's a bit at the end where like Tom Hardy's arm is fucked, and he won't just stop. So he's fighting one-handed, essentially. And your man doesn't want to, it's the last round, he doesn't want to fight him, but like he's also... He's doing this because he's like behind on his mortgage.
Yeah.
And like the National About Today like starts playing. Ooh. And then the dad shows up watching it. And it's just like really, because they've been estranged for years. Yeah. And like,
I just
find it hits me really powerful, like with that song. Like,
I don't know if I know the song. I don't think I know any of the National stuff.
I don't know them that much. That'd be the one I would know the best. Mm. But like, some people are mad into them. I haven't been able to. I also had like one from Magnolia. One is the loneliest number.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. I was gonna say I'm probably the worst person to be sitting there. I haven't seen it. Well, I've seen Magnolia, but once I've seen, I don't remember.
We'll do it again one of the days on the pod, Cantwell. Don't you worry.
But yeah, I mean, I have to say this was one that I thoroughly enjoyed.
It's a weird thing to say. It's just nice sitting on YouTube finding these scenes.
Great, love that one. If I'm ranking them.
Mm.
I would put it at... I put the Ghostbusters one at number 5.
Why even have it on there?
Because I like it. I do really like it. It'd be up there.
Fine.
But it'd be number 5 out of that list. I would put The Immigrant Song at number 4. Mm-hmm. I would put Just Like Honey from Lost in Translation number 3. No, I'll swap that. Mm. That one number 4. Immigrant Song number 3. I would put The Layla Interlude number 2. And Good Vibrations,
number one.
Love the song, love the movie, love the scene. It's a perfect combination.
I thought Layla was going to be your number one. Like, before we even sat down, I was chatting. Like.
What about you?
I think I would go with... It's very hard.
Yeah, I have to push you, though.
Okay. I'm going to go Sister Christian, Jesse's Girl, number one.
Okay. Oh.
I'm going
start
down.
Start number one. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I don't need to hear the rest.
Number two. Yeah.
Whatever. Kind of blew your wad. Go on. Now number for foreplay. No, go on.
It actually doesn't matter. It's fine.
I don't know. You have to listen.
Okay, I'd probably go Across 110th Street, number 5. Good Vibrations, number 4.
Ooh.
These Days, number 3. Ooh. Smoke in the Water, number 2. Sister Christian, number 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right then. Excellent.
Yeah. There's stuff though. Any of those on a different day, I guess you could shuffle around.
Did you assume that we would have the same song? Did you think?
I was like, definitely, I thought like Smoke on the Water might have been one you picked as well. Like,
but you'd assume I'd probably go with Layla.
Yeah. And then I knew you wouldn't have Sister Christian these days or Across 110th Street. So Good Vibrations was the only other one that I was like. But then I was like, I don't even think he would. Like, I was thinking, instead of Good Vibrations, maybe Can We Still Be Friends from Vanilla Sky, where it's like...
What a soundtrack. And Cigaros could have used as well.
Like, he's like pulling the pillow back when he realizes that he's killed her. And it's like,
that's almost very similar. You know what?
Actually, that's number one.
No, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it now. But if I could redo it, I'd ditch the Ghostbusters one and I'd pop that one in my top 5.
So good.
It was... That's almost just as good as the Good Vibrations one. Because that's the real, as the pillows come on up.
He sees the birthmark.
He realises he's killed the wrong person. La, 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 la,
and then, like, he runs down the stairs. He's like, ah! Like, again, it's like
actually very similar.
Nightmare stuff again.
Like, yeah.
Really good, though.
Fucking great movie. Well, there's our outro song. Well, listen, folks, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for supporting the podcast.
Thank you very much. I hope this translated well on audio, and I hope the video didn't get pulled. But you can see the video of this, of us and the scenes, on Patreon. If, well, you're on Patreon, so this is a moot point. Yeah. But anyway, thanks for listening. I don't have anything else to say.
We
now.
We love you.
We do.
Goodbye.
Tiny dance. Sometimes.